Good afternoon, Boston, surrounding regions, your mom's house, wherever you are. It is Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, right here on 93.7 WEEI.
Are you at your mom's house? Is that what you're saying?
Listen, we all, who knows? Maybe at some point we all spend a little time at our mom's house. We should spend more time at our mom's house. If your mom's still around, call her today. Come on.
Happy 84th recently to Kathy Laird. We'll throw that out there. My mom's birthday recently. So.
Hey, Kathy, happy birthday. Yeah, it's very nice.
And, oh, you know what? I should probably say the same thing because today is literally my mom's birthday.
Wow. Wow.
Happy birthday, Ma, certainly.
All right. Happy birthday, Ma.
Sitting on your brand new recliner. It's funny. It's like old men want RVs and old women want recliners. That's what it seems happen.
Things in life. You know, I'd take the recliner probably over the RV, with you, if we're being honest.
Oh, Ted, I bet Ted would rock an RV well, though. California RV, like the classic surfboard on the roof.
I would. You know what? Now that you're painting that kind of picture, this kind of sounds kind of nice.
Riding up Route 1, bam.
Oh, I like that. The Pacific Coast Highway. Yeah. Oh, golly.
I refuse to travel with my own feces. I do not want to travel with my own feces. Like, that is like, when I hear RVs, and what's weird, too, is that, like, in like recent years, I've heard friends of mine starting to do something happens where you just go, you know, RVs, and to that I go, hell no. It just, I having to get that blue bag out everywhere you go and just like dump it.
Yeah, what's it cost to fill that thing up with gas too? Probably you know, 500 each time, you know.
That's a decent point. And there probably are no electric RVs, I have to think,
probably
at this
not.
Point probably not. But it is a wonderful day for you to call us. 617-779-7937. You can also go to the Odyssey app. That is a good place to listen to the show, consume it, also connect with us. If you don't want to stay on hold, you can leave us a message, press that microphone button, and we unload those suckers in the 5 o'clock hour with our take grenades. So much stuff going on. I just want to mention one thing really quick, first off.
National Radio Day?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, No wonder my feed was filled with, look at me back in the day. and it's like, hey, it's me with Tina Turner. It'll be like some old like.
Give the weather every 20 minutes today while you're walking around, please. Yeah, on a radio.
Right. Weather and traffic on the 10s. No. Yesterday we were talking about how Roman Anthony is right now with the Portland Sea Dogs. And Ted, I was talking about how the first time I went to a Sea Dogs game, it was somewhat surreal because there was this mascot that went walking around. It wasn't the sea dog, like, which is like a puppy. It was just this like goblin looking thing. And this dude just pelted this mascot in the face with like a half full thing of Coke. Ooh. And I was like, why are you guys being jerks to this mascot? And everyone in the crowd started throwing stuff at him. And I realized that they have something there called the Portland Sea Dogs Trash Monster. And he's this thing that just, it's like a mascot with a giant mouth. And your goal is to just pelt this thing and fill it up with trash. And I was joking on the air about how this was like either the worst job for an intern ever, or it's some really weird guy with a strange kink who loves having trash thrown at him, and he found his dream job. But what was crazy was that after the show, I get a text from our own Christian Arcan. And Christian texts me and says,
"Of course,
my cousin was the trash monster for the Sea Dogs."
Oh, that's an evergreen Arcan text. Like, he has some family member who's done anything New England related. Within minutes, he'll text it to you.
And what's great is that apparently she wasn't some weird person. She's like brilliant. She was getting her master's. And it was fun, and the trash never got on them. I don't believe that. There's no pun. That's got to be a weird thing to your ego, or you know what? I'm just going to have everyone throw their half-eaten, like, diseased, like scabby-lipped stuff towards me.
I'm trying to think here. If they hit the bullseye, which is the open mouth, I'm thinking the thing that's at the bottom of that is your face.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking hot dogs, half-eaten hot dogs hitting my face, you know, would not
feel
great. Yeah.
If you've ever been the Portland Sea Dogs trash monster, 617-779-7937. But there were indeed some sports that happened last night. Let's do it, shall we?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Yes, and Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. By the way, I can't wait to talk to Ted today. We have yet, because of all the stuff that's been going on with the telethon, which, thank you very much, $7.3 million, that's insane. But we have not talked at all about the Patriots. And I can't wait to get your take on everything that's been going on. And we will do that very soon. Also, Tommy Curran is going to be on with us. Top tier Terp. He's been down at the practices as well, which I heard have been fairly spirited, I guess is a one way to say it, between the Eagles and the Patriots. But let's get to yesterday over there at Fenway Park. What a gross way to blow a sweep, Stiz.
Kepler leads from third. Tawa from second. McCann from first. Ball four high and away. He's walked three in a row. That wasn't close. Fastball. Kepler trots in from third as he's forced in. And a frustrated look on the face of Chad Tracy in the dugout.
He sounded so frustrated. It was like he was back working with Gruden on Monday Night Football.
I love Sean's like disappointed voice or his disgusted voice. Oh. He does that better than anybody. Oh. When the team is just
he was
not
calling my game and I heard him talking that way about me or just reacting that way, I would break my heart. It would absolutely break my heart.
But this is the concern about the best bullpen in the league, in the majors, the curse of Chad Tracy. Remember he said that on our show? I didn't like that. That's a little jinx material, and here we go.
But that is what happens when you walk three straight batters in extra innings and the Sox blow at 7-6. The bullpen depth, as you were saying there, Ken, caught up with them. As Chad Tracy left Giovanni Moran out there, and boy, did he suck, which stinks because the dump truck, along with Tyron Guerrero and Chapman, they were excellent. They combined for three scoreless innings, allowing just one hit. And Tully came down to earth a little bit, but how could he not? I mean, the way he'd been pitching. Five innings pitched, three earned runs, 98 pitches. He was cruising until that fifth inning where he threw 31 pitches, and then after that he was toast. But there is something pretty cool going on, however, despite the loss, near the end of the lineup, Stiz.
Jasper waves the bat, open stance. He swings and hits a high drive to right. Back by the Arizona bullpen and gone! Over the bullpen, a three-run homer that ties the game at five. Home runs in three straight games for Jasper. His first three Fenway Park home runs. And the Red Sox do it again. 5-5 in the sixth.
We gave McDonough the Lemmy treatment. I feel like I've cheated on my girlfriend here.
That was a Sean Ami. That was great. Excellent.
Sean Ami. I don't know. It fits Fleming a little bit better. Sean is
that's a great crescendo. He's got the late burst. I love that. The Sean. I love Fleming. You're right. I'm not going to rip Will. Both great.
It's not bad. Not bad. Not bad. But Mickey Gasper, a.k.a. W.B. Mason, with that stash, he blasts a game-tying three-run homer in the sixth, his third homer in 3 days, but obviously not enough. And the
Gasper hit the gas again. No brakes. I would like to work that in there. There we go. Thank you, Stiz. Get full throttle, Gasper. The guy is a legend. He's a growing
legend. Is he going to be the same legend in the playoffs? That's all I'm curious.
Yes, the only thing that can stop him is a day off.
Is that it?
That's today.
That's the only thing that's going to stop him. Okay, not the pitching in the playoffs. Gotcha. Okay.
This is the nerd in me, but for some reason, I love it more when they're from around here.
Because
you imagine yourself out there playing in front of dudes that you went to high school with. You're like, yeah, that was me. That was me, baby.
Yeah.
And the girls that didn't,
is he Merrimack?
Dates with you.
He's in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
guy,
Merrimack,
right?
New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yep, New Hampshire. Yep. But it wasn't enough. And the Sox win the series but drop the sweep. Here's Peyton Tully, who is becoming the king of the soundbite lately. Let's let this one roll.
I think we're in the thick of it together. I think that's kind of been the biggest emphasis. You know, whenever guys are talking post-game, it's like we're, for lack of a better term, like I've heard of being the suck together. Can I say that?
Yes.
But like being in the suck together, like being don't whenever it's going rough or, you know, long days or whatever it is, like being able to be together that's whenever is the most important.
I love how we thought that was a bad word.
Yeah, he tails off there, doesn't he, Rich? Can you say suck?
He asked permission of the PR guy. Unbelievable.
Yes, indeed, Peyton. You can Peyton, say suck.
Can say suck.
But I like that. It's a good mental place to be if you're a pitcher and things aren't going well. It's like, hey, man, we're all in the suck together. As long as you're not the lone person causing the suck, that I think probably works. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say, Ted?
Yes. You need everybody kind of feeling it together for it to really have an effect. So, look, the hitting, which has been most of the issues all year, it's not been an issue recently. It's been this bullpen, which was considered one of the best bullpens in as of 2 weeks ago now. So it's, this is baseball. You play long enough, you see even parts of the game that were really good. You're excelling at it. Certain parts of the season kind of, take a back seat or not as good, which is the bullpen right now. So I feel that they have plenty of good bullpen arms. They're going to be fine when it matters. But, you know, nonetheless, that was one of their strengths. The bullpen is now kind of letting them down a little bit.
And I'm not counting on it, but it would be nice to just get something out of Garrett Crochet this season. Just if he could come in and do a couple of innings, you know, in relief. Wouldn't that be something, you know?
And I think that's the goal and the plan. Because when we asked Chad Tracy at the Radiothon a couple of days ago, I asked him just point blank, are you expecting Garrett Crochet to come back? And he basically said, don't expect him to come back. We'll get that audio, but don't expect him to come back and pitch a full, mm-hmm. you know, like he's starting the season off healthy. But can he contribute in games? Absolutely. But he's not going to be, I don't think, a full-time starter. That was pretty much made clear by Chad Tracy when we talked to him a couple days ago.
Well, Wilson Contreras is a little bit of a story today. So at the end of the game, there was some jawing towards the crowd, and there was a little bit of back and forth. Not the first time Wilson has done this. We have on with us next someone who was right there next to the fans that they Ooh. Were jawing, and she knows exactly what was being said. We will have her on with us and talk about this whole Wilson Contreras situation. 2 minutes, we'll be right back. It was 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtleib, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, and you. 617-779-7937. Also, the Odyssey app is a great way to consume this show. And yesterday at the end of the game, Wilson Contreras, this is not the first time. What was it, maybe 10 games ago that we saw Wilson get booed for not hustling at a play? I obviously stuck up for the guy because he had just gotten hit in the head with a fastball, and many people thought he was dealing with concussion symptoms. And we had Chad Tracy on, who seemed to say the same thing, that Wilson's been physically going through a lot. And as a matter of fact, I believe Wilson even told him before that game, according to Chad Tracy, hey, I'm not going to be able to go full speed. Mm-hmm. I hope you understand that. And Chad was just like, we'll take whatever we can get from you. So there's an understanding, I guess, that was between the two of them. But yesterday, let's first play this. So what happened was, after the game, you see him talking to back and forth to someone in the crowd. And here's what, when Wilson Contreras was asked about it, here's what his explanation was.
Yeah, and nothing was inviting me to dinner. And I was like, no. I was like, nah, I'm good with that.
Huh? Where are we going?
Ah, no, he was just inviting me to a dinner. He didn't name any specific place or restaurant, so.
I'm sorry, but I thought that was funny. Now, was inviting me to dinner. I thought that was kind of funny.
Now, I think most people have his back on this. I would love your next guest. I'm very interested to hear what happened here, because this is going to further the story. But the only person who is down on Wilson is our producer, Stiz, who was like, he thought that was the corniest joke. It just thinks he's like, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, Stiz, but you're.
I just thought it was lame. Like, say the truth. Tell the truth. If a fan was chirping at you, then tell the truth.
Well,
like,
we can see that.
Oh, he invited me to dinner. Oh, he just invited me to dinner. Like, that's so lame, dude.
I thought, dude, that's funny, man. I thought it was great. He doesn't want to give the guy any kind of credit. He's just like, yeah, he's invited me to dinner. I said, no, I'm not going out to dinner with you. I thought that was actually funny. But afterwards, someone also asked him about him getting booed because, you know, there was a situation where he wasn't running hard on that late ground out, and the crowd ended up for the second time in like 10 days booed him. And here was his explanation on that.
I'm not going to get here running a ground ball. And if you're a real fan, you know, baseball, there's no case for me to hustle out of the box. I'm not 100%. We never are, but I'm taking care of my leg. If you have to run, I'll push a little bit. If I don't, my manager have my back, and I talked to him, and he gave me the permission just to like to do whatever it takes to take care of my legs, and that's it. But I mean, I just don't care.
Okay, so now I want to get to our guest, if you guys don't mind, because there's a lot of speculation as to what was being said that got Wilson to run his mouth. And Kristen Mulroney, she is somebody who was right there during it all. I saw her post something on social media and reached out. Kristen, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hi, thank you.
So, Kristen, can you kind of take us through what happened and what you saw between, even beforehand, because it sounds like there was more before the actual Contreras thing happened, correct?
Yes. So from where I was standing, this didn't really even have much to do with him. So I was sitting like four seats away from this spectator that he kind of got into it with. And it started in the 10th inning. The pitching was not good, and there were some collective groans from the crowd. But this one guy, he stood up and he started yelling stuff a little bit more aggressively. And it seemed like some of the pitchers took notice of that, which is kind of unusual because they usually just ignore it. And at one point, the guy stood up and pointed at Whitlock and yelled something specifically to him. He was like, "And what are you doing?" And Whitlock, like, very slowly turned and really, like, stared this guy down for a long time. Like he settled in and got comfortable. And it seemed like the other pitchers were kind of taking issue with this guy. He kept yelling things, and then they were all kind of staring him down.
Kristen, I hate to interrupt. What was he yelling? Like, what was he saying to them?
It was really just kind of generic, like, you know, "You guys suck" kind of stuff.
Okay, all right. There was nothing personal over the line? It was just kind of like, you know, "You guys stink. What are you doing?" There was nothing, like, personal, correct?
So that's the missing piece for me, because I don't know why they took such issue with it. Because, like I said, they usually don't. So I don't know if I missed something more personal or more direct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there, you're drawing it to picture. And by the way, the video that you put up is exactly what you said. Who was it who was giving him the death stare? Was that Whitlock? Who?
It was Whitlock.
Okay.
And that's why my video was only like 4 seconds long, because that death stare, I was just like, I don't want him to see me recording this and get mad at me, because I was intimidated in that moment.
Yeah, it was Whitlock, and I have to look again and find out who the other pitcher was that was staying next to him, but they were locked in on this dude who was standing up and yelling at all of them. Okay, and then so take me to that moment. After that, what ends up happening?
So then they're just kind of going back and forth, and to be honest, I feel like everybody in that section missed the bottom of the tenth, because now we're kind of invested in this B-plot, because the guy just keeps yelling things and the pitchers are mad.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know if he saw, was Contreras the second out?
Right, second out.
Yep, second out. Yep.
Okay. See, I feel like we totally missed that. Like, I don't even know if this guy saw the out, because he's trying to pick a fight with the pitchers. So it was probably right after Contreras got out. I actually saw Jaron Duran come to the top of the dugout steps, and he paused, thought better of it, and went back down. So honestly, good for him. I feel like that's gross. On his part.
Wow. Okay, so he went up and, like, for a moment was like, you know what, I'm about to give this guy something, and then he thought better of it, right?
Yep. He's like, no, I'm dipping out.
Good on Jaron Duran. You know what that is?
That's growth.
That's growth.
that is growth. All right. So he goes back down. Jaron Duran goes back down. And when is Contreras next? Is he the next one to enter the scene?
Yes. Okay. So I think right after that is when Contreras came over, and he really just kind of directly addressed the guy. And I heard the first thing he said was something like, "What are you doing? What are you saying? Like, do you want to tell me what you're saying?" And then they just had, again, like, very generic back and forth, like just guy stuff across the net. And it didn't seem like it was anything that personal still. And then Contreras waved a security guard over and pointed the guy out, and everybody clapped. And that was kind of it. So I was under the impression that he was just taking one for the team there and telling the guy to knock it off.
I like it. So he was sticking up for his guy. So he walks into a situation where this dude is yelling at the pitchers, and he walks over there and sees that, and he's just like, "What are you doing, man?" And then they kind of do some generic back and forth, and then that's it?
That was the impression I got. And maybe the guy did say something to Contreras about what he had just done, but I feel like if that was the case, like, it was only a problem because there was already a problem.
Okay, was this guy a Sox fan? Like, what was he wearing? Was he like a Diamondbacks fan?
No, he was a Sox fan.
Okay, of course
Sox
he was.
Spectator, we'll call him.
Okay.
Was he wasted? Was he hammered? Could you tell?
I don't think he was. He was with his kid.
Of course he was.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So you know what? I like that you clarified that. So, basically, in a nutshell, this guy's like jawing off at the pitchers who just blew it, or not even the ones who just blew it, but, like, you know, Garrett Whitlock and someone else. I forget who was next to him in the video.
It was Sandoval.
Sandoval. That's right. Okay. And he was giving him the death
stare. Yeah, Guerrero was in it too.
Yeah.
Not in the picture, but he was there with them too. And they were all just kind of glaring at the guy, staring him down.
And he's like, what, seven rows back, it looks like, in the video?
Yeah, something like that. Five or six.
Okay, so he's like five or six rows back. He's yelling at them, and I love how Jaron Duran. That's actually a cool story. Jaron Duran comes walking up as if to go, like, "Dude, I'm about to, like, unload," and he goes, "I might want to think that one through," and then goes back down into the dugout.
Yeah, took a deep breath.
Yeah, take a deep breath. That's right. You know, have a Fresca. And then here comes Contreras walking out, and he sees what's going on and basically sticks up for his guys. Like, what are you doing, you idiot? And just, you know, talks to the guy in the stands. And then was there anything else you remember that might have set anybody else off, at that moment?
No, I don't think so. Like, it was all just very generic, and like, I can't even remember anything specific that anybody said, because it was just standard, you know, you suck. No, you suck. And I don't know what it was that made everybody so mad.
Well, I got to be honest, it makes me think of this in a different light, seeing that Contreras seemed to be sticking up for his guys, mm-hmm. getting back at this dude. Yeah, that's thank you for your recap of the story. That was awesome.
Good job.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks, Kristen. Good stuff. I'll find that video and I'll send it to you guys to put up. But it's true. This dude's like yelling at the dugout, and Garrett Whitlock, and I guess it was Sandoval, had their back to the field and are just staring at this dude. Like, you've got to be kidding me. They're not saying anything. They're just taking it from this guy who's yelling at him. And I guess that's when Contreras came up. So
what are we going to start doing? So these players are going to start fighting every fan that heckles?
I think you owe an apology, Stiz. I mean, you're a little aggressive here on Contreras.
You cannot have it both ways. Boston is a passionate fan base. In most other parks in the MLB, the fans wouldn't even have noticed that Wilson wasn't hustling to the base. So you cannot have it both ways. You can't say, well, we love coming back to Fenway because the fans, they're so energetic and they're so passionate. Yeah, they are passionate, and it goes both ways. You get the passion when you're doing great, but you also get the passion when you're doing bad.
Stiz, so, I'm not pissed off I'm not pissed off at either side. That guy's got every right. I mean, they did suck. The pitcher sucked, or at least you had one pitcher that sucked.
Yelling at Whitlock, he's not even playing.
Whitlock's not even playing, but I understand. He's got every right to. I've said that 1,000 times. If you don't cross a line, you have every right to say what you want, and they did. But also, Wilson Contreras isn't Jaron Duran flipping a guy off or calling him a gay slur. He went up and was just like, what are you doing, man? And which I think he has every right to do. Yeah, like, come on, man, just get over it. You know, I have no problem with that whatsoever, what he did. Now, as far as him not running, that's a totally different deal, and we will talk about that right after this and take your calls. 617-779-7937. Once again, thanks for Kristen coming on and clarifying like what happened there. But we got someone else who was a witness, but he says that he's got a little bit of a different memory of how it all went down. Yep, we will talk to them when we get back. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. I love how Stiz just, like, discovered the Allman Brothers Band.
I know, really, it's crazy.
It's me on my in my RV driving down Pacific Coast Highway.
This is it.
Jamming out to
there
these guys.
There we go.
Right here, you and your RV carrying your own feces?
Yeah.
Right along with you?
That's the weirdest thing.
Texter says you have to dump the black water out before you travel, Rich, so that's still a tip from a 508 texter.
What if you dump, though? Like, when you pull over to the side, that's didn't what the RV's for, right?
Didn't a band do that?
Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. Dave Matthews Band. Yeah. They went over a bridge, and what happened was there's, like, I guess the bridge was, like, a grate, and they unleashed all of their, like, poo, and what happened was they didn't realize there was a tour boat that was going underneath it, and it, like, covered them all in their stuff. And now it's like they've actually put a plaque up at that bridge. They call it like the Dave Matthews, like, poo bridge or something. I'm not kidding you. It's all real. Was that in Baltimore? Wow. Or it was like in a city that it sounds like something would happen in Baltimore. But yeah, that's a real story. That is a true story. And thank goodness nobody got, you know, any kind of weird diseases from that. All right. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, 617-779-7937. We were just talking about Wilson Contreras yesterday and how two things, really. One, he was seen jawing at some people in the stands, which is, you know, that we had someone come on and saying that what he was doing was basically this person was yelling at some of the pitchers who were there, Garrett Whitlock, including him, who had nothing to do with it. And then when Contreras came up, he was basically like, what the hell are you doing? Come on, man, calm down.
Just real quick, just to paint the scene a little bit more clearly, the pitchers in the dugout, they were standing outside the dugout, so you could see who they were. Like, just
so you know how, like, the pitchers that aren't pitching, like, during the game, they'll just rest over the edge and watch the game?
Right.
They had done, these two that are in the video, and that was Garrett Whitlock, and I think, did you say it was
Sandoval, well, Guerrero.
Sandoval, that's right. So they stood up and they put their back to the railing and looked into the crowd and gave him the death stare.
Yeah. Okay,
and
gotcha.
That's when Contreras apparently came up. So that's one part of it. The other part is Contreras not running the ground out and the crowd once again booing him and his explanation for that. There is someone on line one who wants to yell at my take, which I don't even know if I really gave a take. John, what's up, buddy? How
Thank
you doing?
You, John.
Rich, what's happening, man? Hey, what's before up? I get into it, I lived in down in Hotlanta for a little while, man. Claremont Cafe. There's this other place called Eats, man. I don't know if you ever went there. They had some jerk chicken plate, a little pasta plate.
Oh,
old
Eats
school,
was
though.
Like,
that was back during, like...
Yeah, that's where I basically...
during the 96 Olympics, but...
Yep. God bless it. It's now out of business. I love that place. But yes, absolutely, John.
That place was awesome. You guys have a little Pharrell in you. Pharrell back in the day was running the show down there.
Really? Wow. Scott Pharrell.
Love Pharrell.
Scott Pharrell sounded like every morning before he went on the air, every night before he went on the air, would gargle glass.
I worked with that guy.
He's my guardian all the time. I saw him at Lollapalooza when I was down there. Wow. Anyways, that's besides the point. You know, that last take, you know, where I have a problem with it is, come on, the dude is with his son. That's where the pitchers are probably staring up like, really? When do you ever grow up? I could see with some college kids, you know, screaming, whatever. They're young. They grow up. They learn. They're probably like, come on, man, really? You're going to, you know, give us this kind of like blowback on like our pitching? What are you teaching your kid? I mean, they all know their, you know, you said it was like, oh, they have every right to do it, but do they know their responsibilities? You know, as a parent, you have responsibilities.
That's John, I'll tell you this. You're right. They have every right to do it. It doesn't mean you're, like, super cool when you do. You know, you're an a-hole. You're doing this with your kid next to you. What kind of...
Right.
You pretty much suck. But I'm not going to kick you out because there was a little bit of controversy. Remember earlier in the season when we talked to Chad Tracy, somebody was jawing at Jaren Duran. And I believe
that guy
ended up getting kicked out, and he wasn't even saying anything over the line.
That was Chad Tracy who I think got that fan kicked out, right? I mean, he basically told us that.
Yep, we had a back and forth on that. I do not agree with that at all. As long as you don't say anything personal or, you know, anything profane, hell yeah, you bought a ticket. You should be able to say what you want. It doesn't mean that it's the right thing or you're not a dink by doing it in front of your kid who's right next to you.
Okay,
absolutely.
But 336 texter, the Red Sox effing stunk yesterday. This is all due to Chad Tracy being soft and having no control over the roster. Effing embarrassment. So you get all people taking different sides of this. Do you think this team is a little sensitive? They kind of do have that little bit of a rabbit ears vibe. A little bit.
I mean, look at the, I hate to say it, but now there's a decent enough track record of incidents where you've got people getting upset, players getting upset with fans.
You wear a bag on your head, you get ejected, you know.
That's crazy.
It's been like the whole season. It's just been a little weird, you know.
Yeah, I think that the worst part of it was when they kicked that guy out who was just like saying basically grade school stuff to Jaren Duran. I thought that was like over the line. But you're right. Maybe that is an issue. Now, the one thing I will say about Contreras is that him, like, running out that grounder, there's no way he would have made it. Okay? I understand that. And if he is playing with an injury, and he obviously is, and he's been injured for a while now, and Chad Tracy has talked about his injury, I don't know if I would boo. I know why people did it, but that's kind of a – I still think that's a little bit of a dick move.
Yeah, but, Rich, what if the first baseman missed the throw? Like, we see that happen. Sometimes it looks like an automatic out. You know, it's a wild throw or whatever. The first baseman mixed it. I mean, that's the tying run.
I mean, it's a good point. It's a good point, Stiz. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I seem to remember a ball going through somebody's legs in 1986.
That was a ground ball, not a throw. Jackson.
You know what, Stiz? You make an excellent point. So, yes, I guess he probably should have ran his ass off. But, you know, I understand why he didn't, but you're right, he probably should have. And do you think that he should be out there playing, even if he's not 100%? I do.
Well, that's the weird thing. Ted could probably talk to that more. It's like he obviously has some kind of hamstring thing, but he runs hard otherwise. But then he picks the 10th inning to just decide not to run. It's like, how does that work?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of torn between this. I just feel like to expect fans to know what all your injuries are, I think that's asking a lot. I can understand why fans would boo him. I do. You know, not everybody knows what his health status is at that moment in time. So it's probably kind of jarring to not see a guy run out a ground ball because, it might be 1 in 50 chances that ball goes through his legs or he makes an errant throw to first. But it's that one time where you think that if you were running it out, you could have been safe. So I don't know. I go back and forth with this. But a lot of guys, it's just interesting. You know, I guess it was Whitlock and Sandoval, but Sandoval and Contreras, the one that had the issues with the folks in the stands, they're new. This is new to them. Like they're experiencing Fenway for the first time, and so they need to learn how to kind of deal with it, because I always will tell all the athletes that I've ever played in all the different sports here in Boston, when it sucks, it can suck here. But when you're good and you're great, it is the best sports town to play in. So just remember that when things are going bad, if you win them over, it's the best place in the world you can ever play.
Can I ask you this, Ted? Did Contreras do the right thing by talking to the fan, or should you at that point just like ignore them and give them no power?
Yeah, that's part of it. You gave that guy everything he wanted.
But he feeds off this. This is Contreras, right? Yeah. He likes this stuff. Yeah, he gets down on the drama. I mean,
if that brings out the best in Wilson, then I'm go for it.
I mean, the guy leans over the plate. He gets hit more than anybody. He's always like,
If it's really bothering you, don't add to it. Just ignore him. That's you take all the power away when you just ignore the guy.
You know what, Stiz? I don't know if you have it, and if you don't, maybe we'll play it a little bit later on. But Contreras did say something interesting after all of that. And someone asked him about, hey, you know, like, does that affect the way that you think of Boston or the fans here in Boston when you get booed? And he was like, absolutely not. He goes, there's no other place that I would rather play than the city of Boston. I love the fans in Boston. And you could tell he was being sincere and almost like he understands why they're booing him. But he right back is going to tell you, man, you got to understand, I'm not right. You know, he wanted you to know that. And I understand, Stiz, what you're talking about. Sure, it could have been the one time that the ball was overthrown and went into the dugout. There's no question. Okay, you got that clip? Okay, this is actually really good. This is Contreras being asked about whether the booing actually pisses him off and makes him not like it, the fans here. And he likes
it. A lot about the All-Star game, about how much you love Boston and the fans. Just things like this, does that change that at all?
No. That won't change my mindset. I won't change my mind about Boston or the fans. I think I'm in the best place to play baseball. If I was 100%, they wouldn't boo me because I was going to hustle down the line. But I was sharing my perspective about being a Red Sox, being a Boston. That goosebumps every time that I think about Boston. And I'm in the right place.
Dark and Stormy Nights on Twitch says they're in the suck together. This is all another example of it. Get the T-shirts printed.
That's right. In the suck together.
Didn't Durbin Mitch say that to us when we interviewed him? They mentioned the suck. So it's obviously a phrase and term I think they're using in the locker
room.
Not
succubus, right? That's your term for something else.
That's a great, and I got another succubus story.
Oh, we do?
Maybe we could share it down. Yeah. Down
another chapter in the succubus book.
It's unbelievable. It's just, they keep coming. You know, I see it more and more.
Well, did you see, Ted? They're saying it's a coordinated thing. Like the NFL is almost coordinating these WAGs, as they call them.
Oh, yeah, to just get more female fans invested in it. Yeah,
that's true. That's disgusting.
It's terrible.
Hang on. Are you telling me that, like, Roger Goodell is in, like, some big meeting room, and he's like, look at the ratings since Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce started dating. we need some hot up-and-coming starlets
to date some of these
weirdos. Yeah.
You would put that past these corporate... We all know those corporate people.
Yeah. Yes, the that's suits. Like that's like human trafficking. It's like, yes, you will be betrothed to this person.
It is kind of...
What are we talking about here?
I think there's some truth to it, man. I would put it past them to think that way, you know? I seriously would. Yeah, so the camera follows these quarterbacks, with their WAGs when they normally wouldn't, because they want to boost the female audience. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when it happens, it happens. I love the fact that it's like, you know what? You know what we're going to do? We're going to form this whole thing where accidentally they slam into each other and she spills a drink and then they go pick up her notebook that she was bringing to class.
Can we get one of Jackson's dates in studio and like running her fingers through his hair? I mean, maybe it'll help. I don't know. Let's get down on the succubus.
Right. You never know.
I'm definitely down for that.
That term succubus, Ted, makes me laugh every single time.
It's a great term, isn't it?
It really is. Yep. It's the girl that ruins the guy's athletic career, and I'm sure there's probably the other side of it as well. Yep. But in this case, the succubus, that is such a funny term.
Under for both Chargers and Bengals.
They've been attacked by a succubus.
They are,
617-779-7937. Let's talk some football. I've been wanting to do this for a while. The Gonzalez thing is man, after, let's just talk about it next, because there is a situation that could make the Crafts look so bad, in my opinion. Like, so bad. If this Gonzalez contract doesn't work out, after what they said, they are going... All right, we'll get to it next. We'll be right back.
Well, first of all, I'm not so sure that Gonzo deal is going to get done so quickly. Obviously, there are the parameters in place, and there's the roadmap that Devin Witherspoon has presented. And obviously, Gonzalez would love to get a deal that's deserving of a new deal, and the Patriots would like to get a new deal. But up until this past weekend, the two sides were not overly close, and they had not had a lot of productive conversations. So it should not be hard to get a deal done right now for Christian Gonzalez, and yet so far, it has been.
Wow.
Yikes.
That is not good news. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Certainlieb, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, 617-779-7937. Hang on, listen to Chino. Pull it up.
Chino?
Oh.
They're named after the pants?
Oh, Chino from the Deftones. Diamond Eyes is one of the more underrated metal albums of all time.
Ted and I were just talking about it.
All right, but that right there is concerning if you're a Patriots fan, because now we've all been waiting for the Devin Witherspoon shoe to drop. It has dropped. 4 years, $132 million in new money. That's 33 a year, the highest average salary for a cornerback in NFL history. And with that, the real money, $101 million in total guarantees, $59 million fully guaranteed at signing. Okay, so...
That's the bigger number, sorry. 59 over the 101. 101 is only if he's on the roster for the next 4 years. So people, it's misleading when you say $101 million guaranteed. That is not fully guaranteed no matter what. He has to be on the roster for 4 years to collect that $100 million, quote-unquote, guaranteed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You're right. It's now that I'm looking at it here, it's the one that, right, the money that he gets upon signing that is definitely guaranteed is $59 million. Which is truly what the contract is. I think everyone can take a look at it, and there's so much funny money out there with these NFL contracts. It's really fair. It's really unfair. But the one thing that I'm looking at now is that when Robert Kraft came out and said, "We love working again," and they said they were offering him more money than any other Patriot that's out there, the one thing now that you have to do is that I know that Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon have the exact same agent. There is no way that they aren't looking for just a few dollars more than what Devin Witherspoon got. There is no way on earth Christian Gonzalez is going rogue against his agent and saying, "You know what? I want $20 million more than that. I want..."
Why not? Doesn't your agent work for you? What if he and Witherspoon are just wired differently?
Because his agent is good enough at his job to tell Christian Gonzalez, "This is what, if you want to get paid now, this is what you are going to get realistically." And it should be a couple of dollars over what Devin Witherspoon got. So I know now that if things aren't working out, that's on the Patriots. They have made this huge disclaimer that we're offering them all this money, and they're saying, "Hey, we're spending all this cash." But there is no possible way Christian Gonzalez's agent is going to go rogue and do something completely different than what he did with Devin Witherspoon. We now know what they're asking for. And if this doesn't happen, you can 100% blame the Crafts for this.
I mean, I just disagree. I think you're making a statement that's not factual, that there's no way the agent goes rogue. I mean, there's absolutely a way that the player wants a lot more money than Witherspoon.
I will say this, in football, the players have way more say in contracts than people realize. I basically was the one to put my big contract together. My agent just did what I told him to do. Baseball is different. I feel like truly in baseball, those guys kind of let their guys do their work. But in football, the players are more involved in their contract negotiations than they let on. Players act as if they're not involved. "Hey, that's my agent's job," but so they don't get any blowback from the fans. So that's the way they protect themselves. But I guarantee you, it's Christian Gonzalez that is pushing his agent to get more of a marketing setting type of contract than what Devin Witherspoon got. If I'm Christian Gonzalez, I'm looking at Devin Witherspoon. I'm like, "Bro, really? You just got a little bit more than McDuffie got. You know, it's not really. You didn't break any."
Right.
Any real markers. You kind of caved. And that's, It's what's interesting is everybody talks about, okay, the Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon have the same agent, so they're working in conjunction. Don't you think the Seattle Seahawks and the Patriots front offices are working together too?
Yeah.
To kind of keep the deal down. But what this explains, I think, more clearly and more succinctly is that when Kraft came out a couple weeks ago and said, we want to make Christian the highest paid cornerback and the highest paid Patriot of all time, that the deal was not even close to getting. And that was his way of trying to gain sympathy and control the narrative from a fan standpoint because the deal hasn't been done. Look what we offered him. We made him an offer that was making the highest paid. Why isn't it done? So now fans are going to start turning on Christian Gonzalez, and that's exactly what the Patriots wanted.
I'm telling you what's happening right now is that Christian Gonzalez's agent is going there with Devin Witherspoon's. He's jacked up the price just a little bit, nothing crazy. And what the Patriots are trying to do is they're trying to put some sort of protection in there because and they're using the number of games that he didn't play against him. And they're saying, we're going to take away your guarantee. We'll guarantee you this money as long as X, 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 and X. And he's going, no, I want the exact same contract plus a million. Because, I mean, think about it, Ted. You know, it's different. I know you're talking about in the NFL, like everyone, you know, the players have a lot of say. But how many times have you seen a position-setting contract get blown away by the next position-setting contract? It doesn't happen. It's always a little bit more. It inches up. When it's position-setting, you never see, like, some guy get, like, $60 million guaranteed, and then the next guy get like $90 million. It's always like a $5 million, like tops, that seems to inch up per position.
I mean, Will Anderson got a lot of money when he signed.
Yeah, that was record.
That was a pretty big jump. I mean, I don't know exactly what he's now. Can we play a little clip? This is from Bert Breer last night on Boston Sports Tonight, Rich, and okay. I think it's revealing because there's reporting out there, and this is what leads me to think it's not as simple as you're portraying it because we had people talking about the share of the cap. And, you know, even for the last several weeks, right, you were talking about record setting, you know, he wants to be paid like a highest paid defensive player. So here's Breer and his reporting on it last night.
Then if the parameters are set, Bert, what's the holdup?
Well, I think right now it's the cash. The Seahawks deal with Devin Witherspoon was a compromise. The APY wasn't way above the 31 that Trent McDuffie got, the 31.1 that Denzel Ward got. So it didn't destroy the market. It was an uptick on the market. And then the Seahawks were actually able to maintain their previous precedence when it comes to guarantees. Trent McDuffie's guarantees vest a year early in year 3 and year 4. Witherspoon didn't get that. So how they make up for it, they jammed a ton of cash into the first 2 years. And so there's $59 million in the first 2 years of the deal, which is a $33 million raise over what he was due over the next 2 years. So the two existing years of the deal, that's a $33 million uptick on what he was due. That's fully guaranteed. So it's just a matter of getting the cash to the player faster. And look, like a lot of this is going to come down to what precedents the Patriots want to hold against other players. Usually that's what happens. And I think in this case, if you look at what the Seahawks did, you see that there was a compromise made.
So the Patriots want a compromise. Gonzo right now is not close, not overly close, according to Schefter.
And that's what the Patriots are going to say is like, look, you know, we could still pay you what your contract says for the next 2 years, or we can give you a lot of this money now, but the APY, the average per year, is not going to be record setting. It's going to be a little bit more maybe than the Witherspoon's, but it's not going to be record setting. And so that's the give back. One side, for Christian Gonzalez to, want a fully guaranteed deal where he's his APY is $5 million more than the next guy, that's probably too much of an ask. But my guess is that's what he's asking for. He doesn't want his contract to be obsolete in 2 years. But the Patriots are saying, look, we don't even have to give this money to you now. We're willing to give you, a lot of cash up front right now for the next year or two. But your average per year is not going to be where you want it. So it's kind of a give and take right now. It's a horse trading, as you will.
Let me ask you this, Ted. What do you think's more likely, what the market dictates right now, or that the Patriots are being cheap?
Can it be both? I don't know. It's hard for me not to say.
Because I'm going Patriots cheap on this one.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's
right.
A leading question, I mean, Ted. Come on.
The history would tell you where the Patriots stand on that.
Yes.
Are they really, giving with their money, or are they, like to hold a lot of money? And it would tell you that they are this lowest one of the lowest cash spending teams in the NFL in the last two decades. So you would probably, if you looked at past history, they always say, you know, the past is usually a preview to the future. Then you'd say it's probably the Patriots cheaping out. So I thought it was a little bit dirty pull when Kraft came out and said what he said a couple weeks
effective,
ago.
Effective, though. I think it worked. I mean, I tell you.
Do you think people are anti-Gonzo right now?
As we get closer to missing games, and he might. Because that's another clip from Breer we got to play, too, because he thinks this is going to define the season and how he behaves. But I think now fans are going to turn on the player because that's the guy that's not out there playing.
Yeah, you know? And it's interesting. I don't know if Gonzo has this swell of support. Like, he's been a good player here, first rounder. But I think back and I think of guys like Vince Wilfork who really leaned into his fandom and fan support and really kind of made it a public, you know, issue, his contract. And the fans would have been BS if the Patriots didn't sign him to what he wanted. So I just don't think Gonzo has that leverage because I don't think the fans know him and like him and would beat the tables for the Crafts to give him the deal he wants just yet. I don't think he's earned that. So he's kind of playing tough. He's playing tough when I'm not sure he's earned that with the fan base to kind of get the Patriots to I don't know, give in and give him what he wants.
I just always thought as a fan, I always root for the millionaires over the billionaires.
Yeah,
just,
hey, me too.
Always. So me in that too. Case, and by the way, I still think this is all theater. And like, it's not going to matter in the end because the Crafts are going to end up spending that money and it's going to make them look good. And Gonzo will end up playing this season. It's all going to happen before the season starts. That's why I've been standing firm on that. Okay. It's all theater right now. It's going to end up happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But what do you think the deal is going to look like? Is Gonzo getting $35 million average per year?
And he's getting just a smidge more than Witherspoon got. Okay. It's going to be exactly what we all think it is, just a little bit more. And finally, the Patriots are going to agree to it. And boom, we're going to have a season. And it's going to be, you know, and he'll be out there playing. And because, I mean, we'll talk to Justin Turpin. He's down there right now getting the pulse of the team. I think this is the last public practice, right?
It was, yep.
All right.
Turp's here ready to go. He's fired up.
All right, we got Turpin 2 minutes giving us the latest on what he is seeing right now at Pat's camp.